This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth and a quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Lord, we just yield ourselves to you again. Lord, I yield my heart, I yield my mind, I yield my body, I yield my gesture, I yield my articulations before you. I ask that, Lord in heaven, you take of mine and be of blessing to everyone in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm just an instrument in your hand this morning. I ask, Lord in heaven, that for the sake of your people and for the sake of your work upon the house, I ask that, Lord, you would help me to be a useful tool in your hands. In the name of Jesus, let the words that will come from my mouth not break anyone, but let it build. In the name of Jesus, let it not wound, but let it heal. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. I give you all the praise. I give you all the glory. Thank you, because our lives will be changed in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have given thanks. Amen. See, you know, this is our family meeting. This is the opportunity that we have to discuss issues that we cannot discuss on Sundays. There are things that, you know, as women, we cannot discuss. You know, this is the platform where we can just talk to ourselves, you know. And one thing about the gospel is that it will follow you. Whether you don't like it or not, whether you don't like Mommy Dupe's face or not, the words that, you know, comes from her mouth, the Bible says they are spirit and they are life, it will follow you home. When you want to do that thing that she said you should not do, that thing will talk to you. And may we never overpower that voice. Yeah. It is no good that we would hear things and then you already know this is not correct and you still go and do it. It's no good. Sometimes it's good that you hear the voice and just cry, but just do it. You cry, but do it. If you do it the first time, you know, you do it with so much pain, but you do it the next time, you can see that sin is not as powerful as we think. It's not as strong. So we thank God for church that can tell us what to do, you know. So this is a meeting that, like I said, is a family meeting that can tell us what to do. When they share the revelation, we now know how to use it as women, isn't it? There is no tag in the realm of the spirit. Is what you do with marriage that will earn you, is what you do with it. It's not being married. You know, sometimes we are so consumed. I want to marry, I want to marry, I want to marry. I told one lady 2 weeks ago, she works closely with me. I said, if brother come and meets me now, I said, you know this sister? I said, you are not marriable. I said, I won't release you. You should have people who can tell you that. The reason when people say that, your husband left whatever for full-time ministry, what kept me was a meeting we had with Mommy, that she was talking about grace, raising children, we should rely more on grace. You know, before then, there are just certain things. All of us have it. It's not only me. All of us, we have it. We have it in different ways. So, I like school. One of the things that I like good school for children. You know? So, when my husband was to leave work, that same day, with no consultation, just went. I said, okay, since you're at home, do school runs. The same day he went to do school runs I've been doing for like 3-4 years. I did not complain. He just went and said, what's the problem? Why are you wasting this resource of time? They were repairing the road. 1.5 hours I had to go and drop a child. For what? Why? He said he's changing school. He didn't come back home to now come and pick me. That, okay, let's go and look for school together. From as he dropped the child in the school, he himself made up his mind that the child is not returning to the school the next day. So he himself went to go and look for school. When he came back, the kind of school, I say, when I saw the school, if I first saw the children, you see, some things you don't even know that they are idols. When I saw the uniform, because me, you know, growing up, I went to good school. I not lie. The name of my school was Tender Touch. The touch was tender. And I now, my husband just, he said, why will you be? The school fees is affordable. They will just go, You know, these schools that they used to, one of the hairstyles, when I see my children those days, I used to be sad. They used to call hairstyles. There was one that was Koroba. That school, I had to go and change the hairstyle of the school. So, but you see, what that thing did to me, it did something to me. It wasn't just my husband that moved. It was the Holy Ghost. It made me see something that there was something. Your child goes to a good school and it means nothing. I didn't know it was a problem. Every day when I go and drop the children in the square, as I'm coming, going back, I'm driving, only me, I'll just be crying. I didn't have an issue with my husband doing full-time ministry. But to pull the children out of that school is a semi-public school in my own idea. I would cry. When I come back home, I won't even discuss it with my husband. I'll clean my eye and I'll go again. But you see, those tears, what it was doing to me, it was removing attachments from my soul. It was removing some things. You see that thing that, you know, our daddy, Kenneth Hagin, talked about, that to drive in a limousine or a beetle that it doesn't know a difference is a walk. You can't claim it. If it is not school for you, it will be something else. But the Lord don't want us to be attached to anything. He wants women who are free. You know, some people take their children to certain schools because of affiliation. There was one that Mommy Ellen told us that they just asked the lady, what school does your child go? He said, our grandchildren, and her. And she couldn't pay. She will take loans to pay. What kind of bondage is that? You know, when the Lord loves you, he comes for your love. He wants us to be free. Free. Are we saying that we should take our children to any kind of school? No. But we are saying that there are certain things are coverings to us. A school can just be a wearing. It can be a wearing for the soul. You see a sister now, she doesn't like dressing, no. But you see that education thing. It's a garment. So we have different garments. And the Lord will want to, you know, remove those garments. Those garments, they are stained garments. Don't worry. Some of us that are single, you don't understand. It goes to reach your tongue. So that meeting that Mommy Ellen held brought liberation to my soul. That, you know what? I should seek grace more than I'm able to seek fine school. You know? Different soul disease. You know, some of us, we just want our children to speak in a particular way. Is it good for children not to speak well? Koda is not good. Anywhere the Lord wants them to go. That thing did something to my soul that I won't stand in the way of the Lord. If it is wherever God wants them to go, I know fight. Have you come to realize that sometimes the greatest of men, what school did they go to? Have you come to really realize it's not all great men that went to Ivy colleges? So you can now see how the devil exalts platforms, exalts institutions. It just exalts it. That was one day I was checking, and I don't even know what made me to even go and check the things. If I saw the most expensive school in the world. They have like maybe like two or three representatives in each countries of the world. But you know that you can go to that school and it will mean nothing. And somebody else can go to that school and come back with baggage. Because sincerity of heart will help you see certain things. It will just help you see, you know, when God is speaking to you about a thing, it helps you to see yourself in the true light of yourself, vis-a-vis the light of the gospel. You know, something happened to me last week and I was grateful. Has this thing happened to anybody before? You want to buy something. You feel you need something. And then you can afford it. It's not like you cannot afford it though. You are not going to borrow. You are not going to borrow from OPE. Anything the Lord cannot provide, leave it alone. Those days, need something, you pray. Lord, I need this. You see people now, they want to buy wig or they want to buy phone. You go and borrow and then you start doing instrumental payments. Why? It's let's repent if we are like that. Amen. So, in this situation, I was just talking about being sincere in your heart. You know, and the thing was doing me, buy me, buy me, buy me, buy me. But I said that. So, I checked my spirit. Like I said I had the money to buy you. I wasn't going to go and borrow. And it wasn't going to affect my offering. And I just told myself. I checked, there was no restriction. You know, being sincere in your heart, we grow in it. We grow in being sensitive. Sincerity makes your conscience alive, makes you more sensitive. You know, so buy me. It's only me, oh. The two was just shouting inside me. Only me. My husband did not know what was doing me. He told me, buy. Won't you buy? So I now told myself, I said, what's the meaning of this nonsense? I said, because you are even talking to me, you, that is not a living thing. See the way you are talking to me, like the voice of Holy Ghost. I'm not going to buy you. And you see, immediately I said that, the thing lifted. So I was going to not just buy an item. I was also going to also buy an idol. You know the way the Lord gives us things, Mama. The Lord gives us things and then he brings salvation with it. Don't be too proud, though, if you don't have money, that you are very prudent, you are enjoying leading of the Spirit. Don't be too proud. To have money is worse than when you don't have money. Because he that is low needs fear no fall. You are already on the floor. You don't have option. But when you have 20 options. And like I said, I could buy it. It wasn't anybody's money. It was money that I work for. I wasn't going to borrow. I wasn't going to. Do you understand? I'm saying these things to see how even your money, the Lord is interested. It's not your own. So I know the way the Lord provides for me. That's the way the Lord provides for me. And the way the Lord provides for me, he provides it and there is no loss in it. When the Lord gives me something, my response to it is thanksgiving. My response to it is, God, thank you. Oh, really? You are really thoughtful about me. But this one, it was going to bring a validation of independence to me. So just because it was talking to me, I said, I'm not buying you. I don't want you because of the way. So we must be that people that are that sensitive. We may be a little bit old school. I was sharing with a sister. I said, during our time, and when I say during our time, I'm not old. So it's not like I'm too far from any of us. Growing up, there was no wig. Everybody made their hair. There is this craze that I see now. Because you want to look in a particular way, you now go and borrow a wig. You see, this thing of contentment and living little and not living on others is something that we must learn as a community. If you don't have the money, make your hair. I see how you go and borrow somebody else's wig, even for hygiene's sake. There are people that, you know, have breakouts on their scalp that you just have inherited dandruff that dermatologist cannot solve just because you cannot sit to make your hair. If you can't afford it, it's a state. You won't always be there. Don't go ahead of the grace of God for your life. You won't always be there. You won't always have it. You won't always be in a place where you don't have. So enjoy your state and then just follow the Holy Ghost and grow. Grow your hair. Make your hair. Wash it. Sometimes wig self has made people not being able to wash their hair. You can carry weaving for 3 months. Weaving for 3 months. You don't wash the hair. Air is not going through the hair. And it's not fair. You now go and borrow somebody else's wig. You know that your hair, you know that you sweat on your head. And then you return it and then the whole thing is smelly. And then they tell you, you'll be like, what's the problem? On top of, you are now feeling entitled on top of somebody's thing. So please, I'm not spoiling sharing. The Lord wants to raise women who are content. Women who are what? You are content. You are content. You are content. When you are content, you will flow below the radar of the devil. He won't be able to nib you. We should be people that they cannot tell us. You know, in the world, people will say, her net worth. Her net worth is this. Her net worth is that. No institution should be able to tell your net worth. So I'm just saying all the side talk was that God wants people who are not living for the external, but people who are living from inside out. What should influence our decision making? What should influence you as a woman? It should spring from a well from within. There's this thing that was trending yesterday of Daddy Oyedepo. You know, that was talking about that he doesn't do anything without being led by the Spirit. You see, the dedication those people had towards the Word of God, we don't have it. If God has not spoken, they are not moving. But we've traveled 10 miles before we hear, oh, hey, is this how you are saying it? He says he doesn't just wait on the Lord for what to do. He also waits for when to implement. What a discipline. But we are not like that. We just get a little glimpse of what the Holy Ghost is saying. The discipline to wait on him to see it through, we don't have it. And God is saying no, that the kind of women that he would raise in these last days are women who are total, women who are whole. Women who are not carefree. We can be carefree in many things, but when it comes to the things of the Spirit, we mustn't be carefree. You know, how you know a good man is not just in his words, you know, to people. It's when you live with a man. The essence of marriage is that two people chase one thing. That's the reason why God, you know, brought about a man and a woman. We'll see it. You know, when you live with a man and then you are changing under him, you are growing, you know, under him, then that person is a good man. You are being raised under him. You are seeing God clearly. You are changing. You are becoming more alive. Then you married a good man. Good man is not that he's able to, you know, all expense trip and give you flowers and all of that. If they do that one, and then they don't give you life. You married panda. So the cocoa of marriage is that the two people, there's an environment for growing together into God. Talking about who is a woman, I think we should just bring this thing down, because sometimes there are things we don't have definitions of. Sometimes we assume that we know something, yes, but we don't really truly know the definition of certain things. Who is a woman?
Okay, so good morning, ma. Okay, so a woman is a nurturer. That's what came to my heart.
Aha, beautiful. Very correct. When you hear woman, you know, who is a woman?
A woman is a helpmate.
Amen.
Good morning, ma.
Good morning, ma.
So, I think for me, a woman is a woman, so that is able to nurture and, you know, give birth.
And give birth. All very correct. So, you know, there's a definition of it that the Lord actually gave us in Genesis. God actually defined it. You know, in most dictionary, they say that a woman is an adult female. You know, dictionary will say a woman is an adult female. But that was not how the Bible defined who a woman is. So when you hear an adult female, an adult female gives you a sense of independence, gives you a sense of freedom, gives you a sense of, I know what I'm doing, isn't it? I'm an adult, eh? And I'm not a girl. So an adult female, that means when I was a girl, you know, I could be controlled. Now I'm a woman. That means that I shouldn't be controlled, isn't it? But you see how the devil changed the definition of who a woman is. So, but scriptures talks about, yes, in that Genesis verse 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. So we can now see that what the Lord initially called a woman is different from what the world calls a woman. The world calls a woman a female adult, but God is looking at who a woman is. He called a woman a help meet for him. It's the help meet. There are two different words that, you know, that help signifies someone who can support, who assists, and who can strengthen. And then the meat there is that something that is suitable, is fitting, or is also appropriate. So a woman is a help meet for the man. So that's who we are. With this definition, it brings a lot of clarity, you know. That's why, who did that work in us? I thank you so much, my sister, when you were talking about that thing. When, you know, in your conversation in courtship, and then you see certain things, and then you feel offended. You see, that work of offense was a wrong work. In the beginning, in God's original plan in making a woman, it was not so. I don't think that Eve had any bridal shower to teach her how to submit to Adam or how to meet her obligation as a wife. It flowed from her making. She was weaved to be a help. Before the fall, she was raised to be a help. That was, the fall distorted that arrangement. So from the beginning, every woman first a help. That means every woman should be able to provide support wherever she is. There should be no lack of support where you are, be it single, be it married. When they are looking for support, ask somebody to do something, a woman should be able to stand up. Now, we have had a distorted arrangement through the fall where devil has defined to us the things a woman can do and things a woman should not do. But this help and then this support is for what? Genesis 1:26. You know, when God created man, the mandate on man was that man should have what? Dominion. That's man's mandate. Because man was formed in the image of God, man should do what? Have dominion. That was God's original plan for man. So when a man and a woman couple together, now a woman was defined as a help meet. Now, you are not a help meet because you are married. You are a help meet because you are a woman. So any woman that has not exercised her helpmeet abilities, when you get into marriage, you won't be able to fully express that need for a man. How free do you feel? You know, we live in a world now, everybody is weak. Everybody is tired. You talk to this one, I'm tired. You talk to that one, I'm tired. And that thing, it's not something that God did not make us like that. We are tired, we are weak, because why? Your muscles are not exercised. How many of us have gone to do exercise before? You say this year, 2026, is my year of slimming down. When I remember the bell, I will sit down. I will sit down at home. But the next time I would do it, you see that pain that I was running away from, it will come again. But when you continue, what happens? The muscles have been exercised. The muscles have been stretched. So it flows. So because our helpmeet ministry starts because I'm first a woman, not because I'm married. So many people, we defer many things to the time that we'll get married. Okay, when I get married. Okay, when I get married. This thing that they're asking us to do, when I get married. When you get married, you won't be able to do it. When you get married, you give people trouble. And sometimes the issue of, especially those of us that, you know, we've waited for a very long time and, you know, certain things are not coming. How well are we doing with our helpmeet ministry? We said that a woman help is for what? Support. Are you strong in your sphere? You know, it's not just physical strength. What we are talking about is not muscle. When it comes to your dominion mandate, how strong are you? When it comes to you coming into God's image and likeness, how strong are you? So we are called to be what? Women who are, in every way we can support. We are a supporters club. Have you seen women who tear down other people? They don't support. All they do is just to just look down on people and tear people down. You are not a true woman. A true woman builds. A true woman raises. A true woman supports. A true woman is not competitive. I shouldn't want to dress like Mommy Dupe. There's a healthy relationship we have. She can say, I can tell her, this your shokoto labu labu, I like it, oh, I like it. Why? Because we are sisters. But I shouldn't go and say, now, wow, this life is not balanced. Then I want to balance it by scheming how, if she wears one today, tomorrow I wear my own. That's not a woman. But you know, these are the things that the devil has given a woman. Jealousy. And competition. Things. There are some certain consecration that all of us should have. You know, Mommy Ellen should not want to wear something, I want to wear it. Why? Some people are bold. Do you know the way I see certain things? Have I journeyed? Many of the things that she has, it wasn't as a result of that she acquired them. Grace brought them. So I don't have the grace. I want to go ahead of the Lord. And then the Lord wants to truly make us beautiful. You see, beauty is an inward expression. What people relate with is what is inside. For instance, have you related with people that are very meek? When you are around people that are very meek, you just like them. You just like their company. You don't have an edge around them. You don't want to put up anything that you are not. Have you also stayed around people that are very proud? There's nothing beautiful in it. Pride is not beautiful. It's not fine. Have you seen people who talk very rashly? It's not fine. If you have been raised a little bit, you know that it's not fine. Except that was how you were raised. And you've never had any other expression. But if you've had every other exposure, you realize that it's not beautiful. Married women, have you realized that days when you just feel spiritual, your husband comes around you? It happens to me. Let it just be that week like this, I'm just all praying. You just see my husband around me. He's pulling my leg, he's pulling my hair, he's pulling everything. Why? Because it's beautiful, it attracts. Godliness attracts. There's someone that is very close to us. And, you know, this woman, she's beautiful. She's very close to us. She's beautiful in the eyes of the natural. But her husband, they can't stay together. He now called my husband one day, because she's a relative, and said, so person is a man. Why do people like their house helps and like their secretary at work? Because comeliness, it's beauty. Meekness is beautiful. We are not saying that's the reason why any man should go and commit adultery. You are foolish if you go and commit adultery. You don't have sense. But if you have sense, if you have a little bit of spiritual sense will just teach you that you want to die. So it's beautiful. So God is saying that, you know, he wants us to be beautiful as women. And to be beautiful as women is actually to take his laws, to be able to take this, our helpmeet ministry, as it ought to be used. And we use it to fulfill the mandate of God in our lives first, before we are able to meet a man. If you do that, you will have 5 brothers asking for your hand in marriage, and has nothing to do with your sculpture facially. It has nothing to do. Why? Because godliness attracts. Godliness is beautiful. Godliness, you know, you just see that it's just talking to somebody. It's talking to somebody. At the end of the day, you can have like 5 people that says, that sister. Not to say that I'm anything. I am nothing. I can remember when in my church growing up, and then my pastor said something that by the time I didn't even know. I just knew that, you know, when brothers are just over nice to you, this one is just very nice. This one is just very nice. This one is just very nice. And me, I didn't know. So by the time I took my husband to meet our bishop, to say, oh, this is the person. Those days, you know, times have changed. And that's why if you are in this church, learn the culture of how to do relationship. You have to learn it. I went, and then he told me, he said, immediately I passed, I knew that was your husband. He said, 5 different brothers have come to meet me. And I said, you cannot marry her. And it's not like I know anything that time, oh. Not be say it's nothing. I just said that the little bit of God's knowledge, milk, attracts people. You attract. That's what I'm saying. Don't put too much of emphasis. As good as, you know, the natural is good, look good, you know, dress well. In fact, the Holy Ghost will teach you those things. It's very simple. He will teach you those things, how to be put together. The Holy Ghost will teach you. But most importantly, a woman who is in staying in this place of a helpmeet ministry will be sought after. Why? Because you become a magnet. everybody wants to connect. And so when you now finally get married, my sisters, today, the essence of your getting married to that brother first is not because, you know, like the world has defined a woman, that a woman should get married, just like my sister said, have a womb, give birth to children, and which you will all do. Eh? But you see, all of that, as beautiful as it is, it's not the core reason for you getting married. The core reason why you'll be getting married is that you are able to bring in your helpmeet ministry to the table, and you are able to help that man become everything. Both of you, you are joint heirs. Both of you are supposed to grow together to fulfill the mandate of God for your life, you know, together. That's the essence. So, in the course of doing that together, you will get pregnant. And all that is in between getting pregnant and the salvation you will acquire in getting pregnant, because scriptures have said it, that she shall be saved through childbearing. So, and everything about it, and raising the children, you know, childbearing is a process. It's a process. It's not just you getting pregnant and giving birth to children. So, and all that would matter in your staying in the marriage, the end product of that marriage, in doing that, that's actually when both of you come into oneness. Because you are now one, seeking one thing. So a lot of marriages, husband and wife, they married. Pastors, they did ministry together, but they never came into oneness. So oneness is not that day when you get married and you sleep with your husband, you are now one. It's not true. Oneness is a process. You grow into it. So God wants us to be, you know, a help that is perfect and that is suitable. You know, they said the definition of, you know, being a meet means is suitable, is fitting, is appropriate. In fulfilling your meet ministry, many times the reason why we cry is in that place of fitting. Have we tried handling a puzzle before? Some puzzle, when you want to fix it, sometimes you need some energy to, especially just hard jigsaw puzzles. Sometimes you need some pressure to put it. That's why sometimes they will put age. They'll say this one is 3 to 6. This one is 6 to this. This one is, why? Because of what? The intensity. Some of it. So when you want to fit something, when something is going to be fitted, is it pleasurable? You need some pressure. So just know, in marriage, when they want to fit you into the man, because you are taken from the man, when they want to fit you back, it is not a walk in the park. It comes with pressure. It comes with pain. And when you feel those pressure, do you now say, oh, I want out. I'm not doing again. So, but God is saying that, you know, as a woman, you know, we must be such that going out anywhere. When you agree to go in, no more going out. You have been locked in. There is no place you are going to again. So that's what a helper, the Lord is going to raise us, you know, to be. So God made us beautiful. God made us upright. That was God's original design. But Satan came and distorted it. And distorted it in such a way that now gave new definition to who a woman is. A woman is an independent venture. You know, there's so much now in the world concerning who a woman is. You know, if you listen to those things, please don't listen to those rubbish on social media or who a woman is. If you listen to them too much, you will find out that, you know, what you have helped there, number one, it comes against your knowledge of who a helpmeet is, because it will go against everything that God has actually designed for a woman. So it tells you that you should be independent, you should be this, you should be that, and all of that. And what is the end of that? The end of it is to ensure that you don't come into glory. You don't get into glory. The essence and the beauty of a woman is that she will be glorified at the end of the day. At the end of all your becoming is that you are now a glorified bride. What will make your husband happy is that he's fulfilled in ministry. You, as his first ministry, he's able to deliver you to the real groom. Intact, marriageable. So, but the world doesn't want that. The world knows that, you know, any woman who is able to stand the test of time will be glorified. So he wants to strip us of glory, wants to bring ugliness to the soul. So who is that woman that should be glorified? 1 Peter 3, give me verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold, of putting on of apparel. So you know that all of these things, they signify things in the spiritual. It's not a literal plaiting of hair. Because if it is a literal plaiting of hair, then we should not put on apparel. So it's not the literal, but we're saying that the adorning of the soul should be more than the adorning of the outward. We are saying that which the emphasis of a woman should be a woman who is what? Well adorned on her inside. So that adornment is done in the soul. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible. You know, this thing, it has nothing to do with your state in the natural. Once you are a woman, this is your journey. Not corruptible, even an ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. You know, this meek and quiet spirit is not just quietness. You know, you can be quiet and very noisy. You can be very, very noisy. I met a beloved sister whose parents are deaf and dumb. And she told me, she said that growing up, that their house was the noisiest house. I said, I don't understand. As in, the noisiest house. I said, but they can't talk now. Husband and wife, deaf and dumb. But the house was very noisy. So the quiet spirit has nothing to do with, oh, I'm a very quiet sister. Oh, it's not, no, it's here. Have we been hurt before? You are not saying anything with your mouth, but the things that is going on inside. You see, the Lord should be able to talk to us like that. He'll be able to express himself to us like that. You are too noisy. And then you are not offended. But there is a confession that, you know, a soul that is on this meek and is help me ministry. As he journeys through that ministry, this thing, he will meet these two spirits, meek and quiet spirit. The meek and the quiet spirit, you don't inherit it. It's not an inheritance. It could be an inheritance at a peripheral level, but at some point, you have to grow into it. A spiritual woman is not a superstar. A spiritual woman is a woman who have been able to use the powers of God to work on that which she has seen. Something must be revealed to you to become spiritual. If not, you'll be a wonder woman. Imagine what the world calls a supernatural woman. A supernatural woman in the world is a wonder woman. A woman that can lift up this AC with one hand, but can never hear God. So a supernatural woman is one who can hear the spirit, who can hear the things that are revealed to her, and then she has minds within to obey. That's a supernatural woman. And you see this meek and quiet spirit, they are fruits of a supernatural woman. So God wants us to be women who are truly, 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 truly beautiful. God is also saying that one of the things I heard preparing for this meeting is that, you know, he wants to take flesh from us. He wants to raise spiritual women. Women that are higher than flesh. You know, just like the things that I was talking about, flesh suggests to you. The way a spiritual woman, things can be revealed to her, is the way also a natural woman, things can also be revealed to her. Flesh talks to her. Flesh tells her what to do to her husband. Flesh interprets what, you know, her husband is not saying. There was also something that, you know, the Lord put in my heart for this meeting, that we should be careful with flesh. Be careful with flesh. Now, we are becoming to see that our women are becoming more empowered. Our women are having more money. Our women are becoming more spiritual. Sometimes they could preach better than the man. If you don't deal with certain things that the Lord is pointing out to, you cannot tell how much, you know, you can veer off. So let's check our worldliness gauge. Let's check it. Check it part time. Check it. You should be able to, something should check you. You see, when you don't pay attention to that thing that checks you, after a while, that voice will fade off. And then you will not know when certain things, when there's an expression to express that flesh, you will know the extent to which you can give it an expression. You don't know. So please, let's try. Let's desire in our heart that this year we should work on our ability not to remain flesh. We should work on it. And, you know, I just remember that story that Daddy Kenneth Hagin gave concerning the woman, the pastor's wife, who felt very beautiful. As something can just tell you that this, you know, sometimes you just, we women, we feel that we are faster than our husbands. We know better. We make better decisions. Let's be careful. Now, there are spirits on the outrage that are looking for church women. You feel empowered. You see, that's why sometimes God, in mercy, God will not answer some prayers. God will not give you some jobs that will kill you. And that's why it's good to have a heart. When you begin to feel that every word your husband is saying is irritating you, check it. You just feel irritated. You just feel his words are not. Check it. There's an entitlement mentality. There's an entitlement spirit that is around you that wants to take you out. You know, when two aeroplanes are flying, when one tilts a little bit off the tangent of his radar, the extent, you won't know how long, how wide you have gone. It is when you, I'm going to UK, I'm in Australia. How did I make? It was just a little turn. That experience, she just felt beautiful and felt she was wasting her time in the ministry. Meanwhile, and it just comes with thoughts. That's why you should be able to judge every thought. It's not just things that you play with in your mind. Thoughts about spiritual authority. It's just on your head. It's just doing you. You better shout. Because where that thing will take you to, at the end of the day, you will shock yourself. So we need to be careful as sisters. We need to be careful as women, as married women. Nothing is too much. When you see that it's just a feeling. You know, there are just seasons that you just feel that, this is my husband, he's not fast, he's slow. By now, would have finished it. Let me help him to correct. Let me help to adjust him. Let me help. In doing that, you don't know that certain spirits can just come in. So let's be careful. Women, like I said, we are becoming more empowered. I can remember in growing up, the way my house is, you know, too much of structure about finances. So because I've been one that never wanted to just disturb my husband with money and all of that, you know, just focus on whatever I have, I can do with a little. Okay, maybe now I used to say I could cook with 500 and maybe 1,000 and I can cook with 50,000. But now things are more expensive. You can say, I can cook with 5,000 and I can cook with 50,000. So I was just raised like that to just, you know, patch here, trust the Lord for my things and all that. So after a while, I just realized that I became a little bit independent of my husband. When I need something, he's not the first person that comes to my mind. Once it's finances, it's not the first person that comes to my mind. I will sort out my stuff. I think I'm saying this to help somebody. So, I didn't know that it was a problem. I felt I was helping the man of God. There was one day, Mama, in my husband's pureness of heart and being innocent, he was honestly very innocent. I asked him for money one time. That I wanted to make stew, I wanted to make soup. That was this many years ago. And then he gave me 2,000 naira. So, but I've learned. I laughed, and I just fell down on the floor. I was laughing. I said, this is my husband. He's like, I will carry you to the market one day. You know, I just played light of it. So that's to tell you that. So there's something inside of me that is not God that just wants to be. I don't want somebody to come and ask me, what did you buy? I don't. Let me just do this something. And then the Lord came to me one day. I think I had something to do. And I was looking for money for something. So till I start had to learn how to go and ask. Because I didn't know how to. I don't want you to come and cut it down. I don't know how to explain to you. So, and we are learning submission, Shay. So, the Lord now said, you have grown to become too independent. And a spirit might take over. I said, I was just helping him. I wanted him to focus now. I don't want to put pressure on him now. I just want things to just be done. He should focus. So, I had to learn to go and meet him and say, I want to buy. So deliberately, it was like I wanted to die. When I want to buy something, I'll now go, whether I have the money or not. Because why? We must all desire to live. I tell myself, my husband will tell me, why are you doing this? I tell him, I want to live. I don't want to die. The desire to live should be higher than anything. So we just go. I'll come your lower. I know how to wind my husband very well. Come and give this your girl money. Do you understand? Why? To bring the heart back to normalcy. To bring the heart to a place where it's not lifted higher than normal. Why? There are some money that will come to my mind or my hand. I can say it is ministry that I want to use it for. And my husband will not be able to tell me to say, no, don't use it like that. So we need to be what? Careful. When the Holy Ghost brings those things to your mind, adjust very quickly. So I just realized that it's not that difficult. He wanted to break an independence inside my soul. And we are going to have a lot of women come into money. We need to be careful. You won't know how much you will grow into insubordination and will be attached. You see, certain sicknesses of the body are attached to insubordination. Lehia kakunta atulian dokushta pande pake ikad atosh topis associate at holsta lakia akakukia kanusta. Lacking nothing.
Power to ton. Amiko power to ton. Eminian to bring power to ton. Emikrendi elesti evanta. I fell in debt. Oh, fell in debt. He fell. He feel a felling. He feel a felling. The felling of a spirit. The felling. I see the felling. I see the felling. Yea, even the felling. Yea, even the felling of that spirit. That spirit. That spirit of insubordination, that spirit of rebellion, that spirit of independence. Emikanon katianta, elikanon dalikatele, eminatala, esisiantala, esisiantala, esisiantala. Yea, even thus far that spirit has counseled you. Yea, even thus far that spirit has guided you. That spirit has taught you, has instructed you. That spirit has raised gates around your heart. That spirit has isolated you. That spirit has taught you. Equipped you with weapons, yea, even armed you against your husband, yea, even armed you, giving you armory against your husband, armory. It has given you judgment. It has given you eyes, new eyes, new weapons fashioned against your home, fashioned against your husband, fashioned against your oneness. But say the Spirit of God, I bring judgment. I bring the felling. I speak the felling. Even by the speakings, I bring the felling of the Spirit. I fall the Spirit in your midst. I fall the activity of the Spirit in your midst. I limit the activity of the Spirit in your midst. I bring about a deliverance. Yea, even power to turn. Power to turn. Scales. I see scales falling. Scales. Scales falling off eyes. Scales for to discern the enemy. Masqueraded as your husband. For to discern the enemy. Counseling you against your husband. For to discern the enemy. The enemy teaching you independence. The enemy teaching you. The enemy isolating you unto destruction. Isolating you unto your perdition. Isolating you unto your damnation. Isolating you for to gain foothold in your household. For to gain foothold in your home. For to access your children. For to destroy you. But I bring deliverance. I bring instruments of judgment. Yea, even by these speakings, I bring my own weaponry. For the weaponry he has armed you with. Lay down your weaponry. Lay down your armory. Lay down every arm with which you have been armed. Lay down every arm. Lay down that judgment. Lay down that sight. Lay down that faulty thought. Lay it all down. Lay it all down and take my weaponry. Take my weaponry. And I will restore that which the enemy had begun to tear down.
Amen. Please, let's pay attention. That's the Lord talking to all of us. The Lord wants us to be women that will not be faulted. Like I said, the Lord told me, he said, certain diseases are tied to insubordination. When the Lord shows you what it is, don't give a defense. And don't die because somebody else is doing the wrong thing. For husbands that you just feel that, oh, boy, he's the one not meeting up. You keep doing the right thing. Don't die because your sister is doing the wrong thing. Keep doing the right thing. And we would all live in Jesus' name.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.